Welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Linda Stokum. Today I am joined by Stephen Feldman, MD, a dermatologist from North Carolina. Today we discuss patient adherence to treatment in atopic dermatitis and how there are digital solutions coming out to help support both the physician and patient in treatment plans. Would you like to introduce yourself, Dr. Feldman?
Sure, I'm Steve Feldman. I'm a dermatologist on the faculty at the Wake Forest School of Medicine in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And we're going to talk about atopic dermatitis a little bit. So let's start with the first question. How are current treatments failing this patient population? And how will new treatments help patients with atopic dermatitis?
That's the heart of the matter. We have great treatments for atopic dermatitis. And if you look at the studies, they work phenomenally well. They probably work even better than the studies say, because even in studies, people don't use their medicines very well. Typically, they don't even assess how well people are using medicines in trials, at least not with very good methodology. That's something that needs to change. But when the drugs are approved and we give them to real life patients, they don't use them nearly so well. And so we have a lot, despite the wealth of treatments that we have for atopic dermatitis, we have a lot of patients who are doing poorly on therapy. And I think it's largely because they're just not using the medicines very well. They're not recognizing that the main limitation to getting people well with atopic dermatitis is not the quality of the medicines we have, but simply the patients aren't putting the medicines on. Topical tacrolimus and topical pimecrolimus are non-steroidal atopic dermatitis options that we've had for decades now. And then we got another one not too long ago, topical crisaborole. And each time the experts are like, oh, this could be great, a non-steroidal, you know. But patients don't put on medicine very well. And I suspect when new medicines are approved, the insurers are going to say, well, we'll consider paying for it, but you have to fail the old ones first. And if you have to fail the old ones first, the old ones are pretty good drugs. People fail those because they don't use them. So who gets the new drugs? You've selected for a population of people who inherently are poorly adherent to treatment. So that creates a big hurdle and limits my enthusiasm for how much new drugs are going to help our patients.
And, you know, we're talking about adherence a little bit and how it is so critical for successful treatment. At the RAD conference, there was a study that talked about how accountability and adherence are associated. What are your thoughts on that association?
Yeah, I think if you look at the medical literature on how poor adherence is and why people are not adherent, you find a lot of things that blame patients, you know, that they're forgetful or they're scared of side effects and stuff. And I think that's a really poor way to look at it, because we doctors control our behavior. And so we need to be thinking about it in terms of, you know, did we adequately give patients instructions? Did we adequately assuage their concerns about risks? And maybe the biggest thing that we miss doing is creating a sense of accountability. I don't know anybody else on the planet who tells people, here, do this every day. I'll talk to you again in 3 months. I could take the most effective, efficient, driven medical student, top of their class, who's desperate to get into dermatology and wants to work with me and publish. And I could give them a project at the beginning of the summer and say, work on this every day. I'll meet with you again at the end of the summer. And even they would fail because there's no accountability. I have weekly lab meetings with my minions to generate the kind of accountability that will make them work. And we don't have that in medicine. And I liken it to piano lessons. You know, a piano teacher has weekly lessons with, you know, with the students. And at the end of 8 to 12 weeks, there's a recital. This system is a lot like clinical trials where they bring the patients back at weeks 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 12. Doctors are more like a piano teacher who says, here's your sheet music. I'll see you in 3 months. You practice every day. I'll see you in three. In fact, it's actually worse than that. A doctor is typically like a piano teacher who says, here's a prescription for some sheet music. I want you to take it to the sheet music store. I have no idea what it's going to cost you or whether your insurance company is going to pay for it or not, but I want you to fill this prescription for the sheet music. I want you to practice the sheet music every day. Now, practicing could cause rashes, diarrhea, maybe a serious infection, but I want you to practice every day. I'll meet with you again at the recital. We're not going to have weekly lessons. I'll meet with you at the recital in 2 or 3 months. And if the recital doesn't sound good, which sometimes it doesn't, I'm going to give you a second musical instrument to practice at the same time that you're practicing this one.
When you do try to get over some of those barriers to adherence, what do you recommend to be a better teacher, a better physician? How do you try to meet the patient halfway to just make it a better experience in total?
Yeah. You know, I think in the clinical research setting, in studies, we could use better, we have accountability because we're bringing them back, but we're not measuring how much they're using. And we should be measuring each time they take a pill out of a bottle. We should be measuring each time they open a tube of the cream, and we should be measuring how much they take out of that tube. And for topicals, not only should we be doing that, we should be, I've been working with a company, Sensil, that has a technology where they can tell the person using the medicine how much they've used each time. And with that kind of feedback, the person can learn to use the right amount. In clinical practice, we don't have such great tools. First thing we have to do is establish the foundation of adherence, which is number one, making sure patients trust us and holding them accountable. And I am not naturally good at this. I have no people skills. And so I have to really work at it to make it seem like I'm one of those empathetic, caring doctors who likes to hug trees and stuff. And so what I do is I run to the door of the exam rooms so I don't keep people waiting because I see a lot of people in a hurry. But then I open the door really slowly so people don't know I'm in a hurry. They'll reach out to take my hand and I'll go, wait, no, I have to take some of this alcohol off the wall first. This is to protect you from doctor office germ. I want to make it memorable. You know, I palpate lesions and I ask patients questions like, I bet you found the previous treatment for your eczema to be really frustrating. And 100% of patients say that yes, well, because if they had a treatment they really liked that really worked well, they wouldn't be sitting there with disease. So I get no information asking this, but I leave patients with the impression that I know what they're going through. And I think you could even start before you enter the room with making sure you have adequate parking, a clean waiting room, staff that smiles, because how people perceive the doctor is going to be based on the overall context of the visit. And then, you know, when I prescribe a therapy, I hold people accountable. I'm a crazy academic. I give every patient my cell phone number. And when I start them on a new medicine, I tell them to call me and let me know how it's working for them in something like 3 to 5 days. Usually I ask them to call me on Sunday because I'm not busy on Sunday, you know? When they call on Sunday, I don't always answer the phone. If I don't answer the phone, they usually leave me a message that says, oh, Dr. Feldman, I am so glad you didn't answer the phone because I really didn't want to bother you on Sunday, but you said I had to call. You're right. This medicine works like a miracle. I'm like 90% better already. And it's usually the same medicine somebody else prescribed to them, but I just work a lot harder at getting them to use it, especially for topicals, especially for like those what are considered to be really treatment-resistant problems like scalp psoriasis, you know, trying to treat the scalp, people think it's such a resistant disease. It's actually very sensitive to topical treatment if you get people to apply the topicals.
How did you develop this technique? Or was it trial and error that really helped you figure out how to keep patients accountable and help adherence?
I was very lucky in a number of things that came together. First, you know, I'm at a program, Wake Forest, the chair who hired me, Joe Urizo, would support me to do anything I wanted, give me unlimited resources. So I felt I could do anything. And the second lucky thing that happened to me is that our psoriasis specialist, a jewel, an absolute jewel of a physician, Michael Zanoli, left our program, leaving the psoriasis niche open. And I was like, I went to Joe, I said, let me be the psoriasis specialist. And because then I just would have to know one thing and I could just walk in a room, know what people have, give them the right treatment and walk out. And so that's what I would do. And many patients thought I was an uncaring jerk. And I found out about that because our medical center started collecting patient feedback, and patients would say, I wouldn't send my dog to that uncaring jerk. And I thought I was caring. I mean, I wanted them to get well. I wanted to give them the right diagnosis and the right treatment, but I didn't have the people skills that were needed. And so in parallel with that, another one of my research colleagues, another absolute jewel that I got to work with, Dr. Raj Balkrishnan, told me about the companies that sell medication bottle caps that contain computer chips that will record when people open and close the containers. So, you know, I had psoriasis patients who weren't doing well because my patients were probably the least adherent of any patients. And I recognized it as a problem. And another colleague told me about something that will allow me to measure. And so I started measuring and I saw that adherence, at least in my population, was absolutely miserable. And then I devoted the next like 20 years of my life researching it, trying to come up with new ways of getting patients to use medicines.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what digital solutions are coming in dermatology that you see, at least, that could really impact next, you know, year, 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, I went to an adherence meeting. It wasn't dermatology specific, and heard, you know, top adherence researcher in the country talk about how doctors cannot fix the adherence problem. We have to do it at a system level. And I'm like, he doesn't understand what's going on. And I asked him about it. He says, well, if doctors could fix it, it would have been fixed by now. I'm like, oh, just doctors just haven't. Adherence behavior, I think, is based on a human-to-human interaction. I don't think other doctors can do what I can do, giving their cell phone number to everybody. It's just not a reasonable approach. I started when I saw patients with resistant atopic dermatitis telling them, do this, I will see you back in 3 days. And they would do it, they clear up, and we know they will, because if you hospitalize them and put the treatment on the hospital, they clear up in 2 days. I mean, it's atopic dermatitis clears up with the treatment, if you can get people to do it. So I would bring people back. And then I thought, maybe I don't need to see them. Maybe I could use my cell phone. So I'd tell them to call me in 3 days. And sure enough, that worked great. They would tell me the drugs work like miracles. Then I thought, well, maybe we could digitize this even further using the internet. Maybe we could make them feel like they're having an interpersonal interaction and being held accountable by filling out some kind of survey on the internet. Now we can do it with apps and things. And as I mentioned earlier, with that Sensil technology, you can give patients feedback through an app on when they use the medicine. So I think people are unaware how, so they tell us they're using the medicine. I think they're unaware how little they're using it. And if their app shows them when they put it on and how much they're using, I think that kind of feedback and training can help them use medicines much better.
Is there anything else that you would like to add just for physicians or patients?
Yeah, this is such an exciting time with these new treatments that are being developed. I think in phase two studies, they showed the topical Rux was as effective, maybe a touch more effective than topical triamcinolone. But topical triamcinolone works pretty darn well. And so if you fail that, how much more can you get out of topical Rux unless you get patients to use it? So either we need some new medicines that you only have to take once a week or once a month, or we need, you know, people to do better. It could even be from packaging. You know, we've got the worst possible packaging for medicines. You know, they come in beige bottles that blend into the environment. Every pill should be packaged like birth control pills. That kind of packaging helps people use their medicine better. And in an ideal world, we would put dollops, the daily dollop of your topical therapy, in a thing that told you which one to use on which day. The treatments are great, but The getting people to do it is the hard part. And one of the beautiful pieces of wisdom I learned is from dermatologist Danny Berg. He told me something a Vietnamese philosopher said. When you plant lettuce and the lettuce is not growing well, you don't blame the lettuce. I do not think we should be blaming patients when they're not using the medicines. We have to take control and do what we need to do to get them to use the medicine to achieve our aims, which is to get our patients well.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles to videos and podcasts, visit www.dermatologytimes.com.